This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
The quiet dread behind the new miracle world. What if the power suddenly goes out? Nothing works, you are stuck, cut off from the outside world. Millions of people in Spain and Portugal just went through that. Just after noon, everything stopped. The grid crashed on Monday, April 28th, and did not return for several days. Why not? Why couldn't authorities just throw a switch and fill the wires with juice? The best answers come from John Timmer over at Ars Technica. John is senior editor at that famous tech journal. He has a doctorate in molecular and cell biology from the University of California, Berkeley. Timmer is a published researcher and a science communicator. His article is, Spain is about to face the challenge of a black start. This is for all of us. John Timmer, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thank you very much for inviting me on.
So the first question is kind of obvious. What is a black start?
So a black start is basically getting power onto a grid that has none flowing through it at the moment.
Pretty clear. Okay, let's assume the grid is down over a big area and millions are suddenly without power and nobody knows what caused it. Is it proper for grid operators to try a cold restart when the cause is unknown? Does that complicate the first decisions?
So I would say that as the grid operators start to bring equipment back on, they'll have immediate readouts if anything is faulty. So as they go about the process of bringing equipment back online, putting electricity through it, they'll know if something was at fault. So even if they run into the cause of the original blackout, they should be able to identify it very quickly and find ways of working around it.
Good to hear. All right, now, why can't the power companies just click on software or throw a few switches and start the grid again?
Oh, so many reasons. Yeah, for starters, software depends on power, and in the case of managing the grid, it needs power both of the control hardware and the hardware it's controlling, and it needs a viable communication network between the two. So there's a lot going on to make sure that they can actually do any work whatsoever. Adding to the complication is the fact that, you know, modern electric hardware expects to operate with the alternating current oscillating at a certain frequency. So alternating current, it just means current that, you know, goes back, the charge goes back and forth from positive to negative. And the frequency of how quickly it switches between those two extremes is the frequency of the grid. And all of our electric hardware on that expects a certain frequency. And if you try to feed something else to it, you can cause permanent damage to some of that hardware. The challenge is that when all the appliances, all the heating systems, all the cooling systems, everything we've got plugged in and onto the grid is unpowered, there's a tremendous amount of demand out there, and demand changes the frequency. So if we just immediately put power in the grid, the frequency would go off, and all the protective systems we have would shut it down. So you'd be turning the power on and having it shut back down immediately, and nobody really wants that. So there's a long process involved in making sure you maintain the grid's frequency as you gradually add all those devices back onto the grid.
Yeah, it's such a weird balancing act, and we really know very little about it in the public. In the nuclear power plant disasters in Japan in 2011, they couldn't restart reactors or even safety cooling without electricity from an outside source. And it strikes us as so strange. I mean, here are these big power plants that produce electricity, but they can't start unless they get power from somewhere else. How does that work?
There's two aspects there. One is nuclear plants themselves, and the second is most other forms of electricity. So nuclear plants, in general, have backup generators purely to ensure that they can continue to circulate coolant waters to keep the plant from melting down. And their priority when they lose power is to make sure the plant goes cold in that they shut off the nuclear reactions before that backup power runs out. So a nuclear plant will take itself, most nuclear plants are designed to take themselves offline and shut down whenever an external power source is lost. Now, something like a hydroelectric dam or a gas-fired generating station doesn't have that same sort of risk. However, all of them are dependent on things like valves and pumps and things like that to keep material flowing through them. And those require power to operate. And in fact, the generators themselves usually rely on electromagnets that need power to operate as well. So if you lose power, all these things have basically shut down and there's no way to restart them because it just takes power to start making power.
So why didn't the Spanish operators just call in electricity from neighboring countries, at least to get their own generators going?
Because, you know, you need to think of the electrical wires as a bit like a pipe. They have a finite capacity. So one, there's only so much power you could bring in from neighboring countries. And then two, you have to make sure that power has a safe way of transiting to the power plants, as opposed to being used to meet the demand of all our appliances and air conditioners and such. Because if it goes to meet the demand, it'll be overwhelmed and you'll have the same problem I mentioned earlier. So it's possible to use power from neighboring countries. In the case of the most recent blackout, there are connections to both France and Morocco available. As with everything else we've been talking about, it's not as simple as throwing a switch and bringing that power in. It needs to be able to be directed to very specific locations.
So the right-wing press, particularly in the UK for some reason, immediately blamed the blackout on Spain's dependence on renewable energy. If I understood your article correctly, you found solar and wind could help a fast reboot of the grid, but only if they have different interface hardware? Is that how it works?
Right. So it doesn't take much to generate power from solar power. So you get direct current whenever the light's hitting. So that's something that could help with this process. However, it gets back to the grid frequency again. The direct current from the solar panel needs to be converted to alternating current before it's put back on the grid. So it needs to go from a constant flow of charge to, again, the alternation between positive and negative charges. So there is hardware that does that conversion. There are two types of hardware from the perspective of this issue. There is hardware that could sense what the grid is doing and will create an alternate current to match that. Or there is hardware that can determine what frequency it wants to create and will just produce that. And so if you're trying to match the alternating current of a grid that's not functioning, you can't, you know, there's nothing to do there. It just won't work. So you need that specialized type of hardware that can dictate what the frequency is before it puts the power on the grid.
So on Deutsche Welle TV, Professor Benjamin Sovacool from the University of Sussex says we should expect more blackouts in Spain, more often, because climate change means a lot more heat there and other extreme weather conditions. He thinks blackouts could double in Spain in the next 15 years. What do you think about grid failures increasing as climate change bites in?
It definitely has the potential. Climate change has the potential to raise the demand for electricity. You know, there's a lot of days where countries that wouldn't face extreme temperatures will be doing so. And so all these countries that never have had air conditioning before will start to install it in homes, and that'll just increase the demand. And also, you know, we're electrifying our vehicles, and that will increase the demand, and so on and so forth. So grids need to be expanded and modernized to deal with that. Otherwise, yeah, it's likely over the next few decades we will see blackouts increasing.
When Texas went dark in the winter of 2021, it took more than 2 weeks to restore electricity to most areas. About 200 people died from either hypothermia or carbon monoxide poisoning from their generators. Is America in better shape for possibly increasing black starts in the next decade or two?
There are about four major grids in the U.S., so I don't think you can really say, you know, there's not a single answer to that. You know, each grid has its own distinct properties and some things that, you know, make demand different on them. There's not a single answer. What I would say is that one of the big things that's incredibly helpful both for avoiding blackouts in the first place and for returning to service afterwards is the presence of large grid-scale battery storage systems, because those can produce energy that will handle sudden spikes in demand, which might otherwise cause a blackout, and they can also put energy out on the grid at any frequency at any time, as long as they've not been fully drained. So if you're watching what's happening, both Texas and California are installing tens of gigawatts of batteries each year. And they're being installed in order to handle an occasional excess in production of renewable energy. And you can use that to take the solar that's made in the day and handle the nighttime demand. But at the same time, they'll really help with grid stability and grid restoration when it comes to that. At the moment, Spain doesn't have a lot of battery power, which may have contributed to this.
Just for the doomers out there in my listening audience, is there any scenario where you think the grid could go down suddenly and then not come back, say, for months, leading to a breakdown of civilized society? Could that happen?
It's very unlikely. It would require widespread damage of equipment that can't be replaced at any time, you know, at any reasonable amount of time. The Spanish and Portuguese grid operators got, you know, the entire Iberian Peninsula largely back into service in under 12 hours. It was an impressive feat. Most of the problems we've had in the States, where it's been longer, it's been a problem associated with the weather and, you know, weather, extreme weather that makes things difficult to restore service doesn't tend to last for, you know, multiple weeks or months.
Do you see opportunities to redesign more resilient systems in a fragile electric landscape?
Oh, absolutely. There has been money in recent bills like the Inflation Reduction Act and the Infrastructure Act that were passed during the Biden administration. They contain money for expanding and modernizing the grid. There are things we can do, and things are in progress. And as I said, you know, building more batteries helps as well. So there's definitely options for improving. We're doing some of them. As usual, we could do more, and we could do more efficiently.
As we wrap up here, is there anything else you would like to talk about or tell our listeners?
It's very easy to get complacent about the things we rely on for our day-to-day life, a steady supply of power, water, things like that that are just part of our normal background, and we take them for granted. But there are a lot of complicated systems behind all those and a lot of people dedicated to working on them. And it costs money, and, you know, we should be prepared to spend what we need and support the people who are doing this work in order to make sure that we can continue to rely on these services in the future.
From Ars Technica, we've been speaking with Senior Editor John Timmer, and you can look for his enlightening article, Spain is About to Face the Challenge of a Black Start. I really recommend you read that. You can find more discussion and a link in my show blog at ecoshock.org. John, thank you for helping us on such short notice.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock.
Covering the world, this is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.